This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
This Joycast is a free service brought to you by Joy 94.9. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
You're listening to Chatterbox with Brett and Andrew on Joy 94.9.
Good evening, Australia. My love, how are you this evening?
I'm good. I've got a warm headphone tonight, which is a bit like sitting on a warm toilet seat, quite frankly.
Look, we were obviously hot desking in the studio tonight. My goodness, it's been a beautiful night, hasn't it, my love?
Oh, my God, it's so summery, and I look like a tramp. I'm the least dressed I've ever been in the studio tonight.
Oh, my goodness. Hey, well, it's Chatterbox tonight, ladies and gentlemen. And those who haven't tuned into Chatterbox, my love, what would you call our show?
We're a talk show where we invited a member of the GLBTIQA community to basically tell their story. They also get to choose four songs that best sum up their journey, if you like, and they get to have a good old yarn with us for the next hour.
Absolutely, and we've got the fabulous Man About Town. Will we call him Man About Town?
Great big handsome man about Town, Andrew Parker, coming up after
Goodness,
the first track.
What an opening. My love, you have chosen a cracker of an opening song tonight.
Oh, it's my favourite singer in the whole wide world, that woman that sings from her womb.
Oh, yes.
It's the one, the only, the Empress of Soul, Miss Gladys Knight and her Pips, with a little known track, but a great track from the 70s called Taste of Bitter Love.
Oh, here we go.
You're listening to Brett and Andrew on Joy 94.9. Chatterbox with Brett and Andrew on Joy 94.9. And that was the wonderful Gladys Knight and the Pips with Taste of Bitter Love.
Oh, God, I love the opening of that.
Yeah, she's got a cracking great voice, isn't she?
Amazing woman. Now, my love, we've got the Man About Town. He's a very hard man to pin down in Melbourne or any place in the world, for that matter.
He really is. Now, Brett, who is our super, super duper guest tonight?
Look, it's the one and only Mr. Andrew Parker, also known as Mr. P. How are you?
A round of applause. Welcome to Chatterbox.
Good evening, boys. Good evening, Melbourne.
How are you, my love?
I am very, very well.
It's a lovely, lovely summery Melbourne night tonight, isn't it?
It is lovely to be warm again, but a crazy time of year.
Now, how long have you been living in Melbourne for, officially?
Look, it's since August last year, so that's... I keep on saying a year and a half, but it's not quite there yet.
And do you spend a huge amount of time in Melbourne, or do you?
I've got a whole new strategy to spend more time in Melbourne. I'd say I'm averaging about 50-50 at the moment.
Oh, well, you're a very busy boy between Melbourne, Sydney, Sydney, Melbourne, let alone all your international stops in between.
That's there's a few other states and countries in the mix there.
Well, I've been told, haven't I? Goodness.
Now, I've only met you relatively recently, but you and Brett have known each other for quite a while, because I do remember Brett coming home from work once and saying, there's a guy at work that says, I make him camp.
No. The line was...
Oh, my God.
No. My love, the line was... There's a guy at work who says that I make him camper when he's around me.
Right.
But after you telling us about, what was the dance? Was it salsa class that you went to quite by yourself?
Oh, a bit of step class or something there?
Step class, yeah. Where you added in extra moves, that I would think be right. It was. I think you're doing a fine job by yourself.
Brett enjoys taunting me about this comment. So this was a terrible, terrible mistake I made about 3 years ago, I'd say. And, you know, I still see there's some truth in that statement. I think Brett does bring out a bit of the camp in me, but I've been proved wrong on so many occasions. Yes.
Can I also say, in 9 times out of 10, I would normally say, yeah, you're probably right, but I've known you for 18 months now, and how dare you blame my Bretty for that?
I apologise now, and forever, I apologise. I don't think it's ever going to get left. I'm never going to get off the hook for this one, am I?
Oh, look, how many times have you been to Eurovision? How many times, Andrew?
That would be 3 times.
That would be 3 times. Yeah, that's Brett, 3 times more than me.
How many times would you have loved to have gone to Eurovision?
Since probably 1956.
So, there you go.
Let's not attack the guest in the first 3 minutes of being on air.
No,
please.
I used to leave that to one of my ex radio hosts to do that. Oh, sorry, Dolly. Sorry, Dolly. Now, obviously, you and I met at a previous company that I used to work for that you still do. And it was quite a fabulous evening. And I had no idea that you probably had a hand in hosting or at least arranging, organising that party.
Oh, I've always got my hands in some party organising somewhere. And that one, not so much that one, but certainly ever since, been a big part of my life.
Is that one of your exit strategies of when you decide to become a party planner to the world stage, Andrew, or possibly even arranging a Eurovision in years to come?
I don't want to ever play up that my whole job is in organising parties, because it certainly isn't. It's just there's certain times of the year, like now, where that seems to dominate everything else. But yeah, look, I've looked at some of those big festivals and gone, I would love to. You know, if I could get, I looked at the EBU website and said, you know, how could I get my CV in that pool? Yeah, look, it's a very exciting industry to be in.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Is there one, if we could give you the key to one exclusive party to organise in the world this year or even next year, what would it be?
Is it a party or an event? Because
event.
Because I look at World Expo is coming up next year in Milan, and that is, I love World Expo. So that's my travel goal for next year, to get to Milan to see that. I would love to get involved in that.
I love the old World Expos, and probably one of the, and I've seen so many websites, I've read books about it, was Expo 67 in Canada, in Montreal. And it was probably the last expo in the world where they really didn't care about environment. They just built, purpose-built, and they were outrageous because it was all about man and the machine.
Wow.
I'm not sure if we could say the same about Brisbane 82.
That was 88 in Brisbane, Brett.
Oh, was it 88?
Leisure in the Age of Technology was the... we all thought we'd reached a pinnacle, I think, by 88.
Yes.
And, there's South Bank still there, but all over the world we're littered with remnants of expos. And Seattle has its monorail, the Eiffel Tower. It's a whole lineup of places to visit.
Queens has that great, big, wonderful fountain, and it's of the globe. And I've told that they only ever switch it on for special events because the amount of money it costs to run the fountain.
That's the era of excess in which that was built, although we're probably more excessive now in many ways.
Oh, quite possibly.
Now, Mr. Parker, a big part of Chatterbox is that you get to pick 4 songs that best tell your story. When we get back from our first community service announcement, we will get you to set up your first song and talk about the early years. You're listening to Brett and Andrew on Chatterbox on Joy 94.9.
Have your say. SMS 0427 Joy 949.
You're listening to Chatterbox with Brett and Andrew and our special guest, Andrew Parker, on Joy 94.9. Now, Brett, we've had a message come through.
The first message is from the delightful Luke Turley, who we know from work, saying, "Hello, Brett and Andrew. Andrew Parker is on the airways. Make sure he plugs Xanadu."
What does that mean?
Oh, my God. I think one of my big secrets is out. And, Brett, you'll get to attack me again for being camp without you. I was actually quite excited because Luke is a member of my team, and our first day on the job, I'd recruited him into the team and came along and sat down a Xanadu album cover on his desk. And I was like, I thought to myself, has someone tipped him off? Is there some sort of story here? But I must admit, the moment I saw Xanadu many, many years ago, I fell in love with it immediately. The Olivia Newton-John, the whole ELO, the whole lot going in there. It's all happening in that
What's
movie.
What's not to love?
Well, look, there's actually a few things about the film production not to love. But that said, I think it's one of those, you know, cult classics and something I've always loved.
It's quite funny because Xanadu and You Can't Stop the Music had tremendous albums, hugely popular worldwide, both absolute flops everywhere in the world except for Australia.
Something about
both us. Were really popular at the box office here. Hey, we've had another message sent through saying, hi guys, oh, John from Burnley. Oh no, it's now Keon Park. Doing a stint of house / pooch sitting. Loving the show, never miss it.
Thanks, John.
Oh my good, how delightful.
Now, Mr. Parker.
Yes.
You have been living in Melbourne for the last 18 months, but cast your mind back to the early years.
Mm-hmm.
Where did you grow up? Where were you born? What was your early life like?
This is something that Brett and I have in common. Grew up in Perth.
Yes.
Almost everyone that's been on this show is either from Perth or Geelong.
Just wait till you come to one of my house parties.
Also, actually, all country Victoria.
Yeah.
They're the three.
It's look, I grew up in Perth, lovely place, and I still think it's a great place to grow up.
Absolutely.
To be honest. Had a few years in Sydney along the way. With my family, with where things were going, and that was sort of nice to mix it up a bit. But I'm still very fond of Perth. Couldn't really live there anymore.
How long were you there for?
On and off until I was about 25.
Oh, so okay, big chunk of your life.
It was.
Yeah.
A few years out of that, but primarily there.
And whereabouts in Perth?
Grew up in the western suburbs, and unlike Sydney, for example, the western suburbs of Perth are probably
They're more very salubrious because you've got salubrious. The river on one side and then you've got the beautiful beaches on the other.
Absolutely. I was fortunate enough to grow up in a suburb called City Beach, actually. So the beach was never far away, which I sort of took for granted. And so I think only think now, you know, I probably realised that how good that was to have right there. But really interesting childhood. Had a mother who was an educational psychologist. I wouldn't wish that on most people. But they can't just listen. They always have to diagnose.
Oh, good Lord.
Oh, my goodness. And, you know, it's really funny because people who normally do live by the beach don't miss it until they move away from the beach.
Absolutely.
It's one of those things. Now, Andrew, so the first song that you've chosen is a real reflection of your childhood, is it not?
It is.
Tell us a little bit about it.
Well, this came from my favourite movie from my childhood, which God knows I watched more times would be humanly possible on a VHS cassette right through the 80s and 90s, which was The Neverending Story. And there's something, I suppose, to this day, when I hear that song, I think there's something. It's a great song to put it out there. But in terms of the movie, that movie's got it all going on. You had amazing production effects. You had, it was produced in West Germany, one of the most successful films of its time. And you had this fantastic plot between good and bad, but it wasn't just good and evil. It actually played out into what was the aspects of human apathy and all those sort of things that are bad for society. You had bravery, you had a long attention span, which of course children of today can't seem to deal with.
Adults of today can't seem to do it either.
Very true.
No, this was the one with the big white dog, wasn't it? Big dog thing.
Falcor. And I must admit, there have been one or two points in my life where I wished some big white dog thing would come and whisk me away as well.
During meetings, generally.
Oh, absolutely.
I'm so sorry. We've got Falcor on the line. He needs to take you off somewhere. Excellent.
Now,
that's not a problem.
This movie always had a line in it as well that I've pulled out at many time over the years, which is to the winch wench, which was the direction provided between some of the characters playing out in the film, which I'm sure I've hauled out to my team a few times at work, but also has, you know, also had a movie where there was some very scary stuff in there for kids and also some very sad moments as well. So,
So without further ado, let's play your first song, which is Neverending Story by the dreadful Lamal. You're listening to Chatterbox with Brett and Andrew and our very special guest, Andrew Parker, on Joy 94.9.
You're listening to Chatterbox with Brett and Andrew and our special guest, Andrew Parker, on Joy 94.9.
Now, Andrew, this is the part of the show that we normally ask our guests about their coming out story. And tonight you've decided to do a bit of a cliffhanger, part one and part two. So without further ado, let's start off with part one.
Wow, right into it.
Yeah.
Yeah, look, I suppose it's quite a confronting question, really, isn't it?
It is. I'm sorry.
Look, I suppose I'd never... I hear over the years you hear different people play different stories about whether they, knew all along or everything else. I knew I was different. Went on a few, went on some of those high school dates with a girl and lovely, but just there was something not quite right.
Yeah.
And so then came along. The internet. Now I had a friend of mine who told me about this internet thing and no one had heard about it. We're talking back in 1994, 95, a very different thing back there, and got on there and not dissimilar to probably people nowadays, except maybe without the colour screens and graphics. I discovered, these communities of gay men chatting online, very small communities.
These chat rooms.
They were chat rooms.
Yes.
And found myself drawn into that in a generally good way.
Yeah.
Found myself in conversations about that and probably a really good way for me at the time, realising what I was and what I was feeling.
Yeah.
I don't think I found that particularly scary. I think it felt natural and I went along with it. There certainly obviously was that fear of hiding something from family members but I didn't remember that to be a particularly difficult time. And then through that, built those networks, started to build some more sense of identity along the way.
It's interesting with you've just used a couple of words. One of them is feeling different, and that's something that we've heard quite a lot through. It's not really knowing what, but it's just knowing that something doesn't feel... Oh, it's just different. But then that figuring out what that different actually is for some people quite a short journey and not that huge a transition. It's just really figuring out that, okay, I know I doesn't, what I'm feeling isn't, I think, the way everybody else is feeling, but actually being able to figure out in your own mind, this is what that different is.
Absolutely.
And being able to feel comfortable with it. And it's, was that a reasonably easy transition for you or...
I don't think there was no kaboom moment where you suddenly went, wow, that's it. It just sort of drifted.
It was gradual.
It gradually sort of drifted along. And I think in probably began to realize that those feelings and those pieces I'd had before were, the groundings of me realizing my sexuality.
Yeah.
And I suppose also growing up in Perth, I didn't have any gay role models around me. I didn't really know any gay people.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
So it was, that was...
I mean, Hollywood had a column on the weekend. That was it.
Well, that's exactly... And particularly then, it was before Will and Grace and all of that era. So you didn't have particularly positive gay role models.
Either. Yeah. No, it was the scared 90s.
It was. And particularly for me, I think I generationally was also, as I later found myself as well, I was sort of caught between X and Y in terms of most of my friends were X and I was sort of just on the edge of Y. And so I was going, so I found myself entering this period of, well, I'm just jumping ahead there, aren't I?
Yeah.
But very different period there. I then got involved in that, started, in that 15 years of age, started going out, finding my way. Luckily, my height was very good for getting...
How old were you?
I was 15.
Wow, that's super young.
It was absolutely young.
And how were your parents with a 15-year-old gay? Did they know you were gay, I should ask first?
In retrospect, my mother claimed that she knew, but that parental thing of being slightly in denial about it. I was always highly, I was one of those fairly independent children. I think I'd already regained a lot of responsibility by the time I was that sort of an annoying debating captain, overachiever kind of,
I would never believe that of you being an overachiever.
By that point, I was already volunteering and God knows how many other things. So I already had a fair degree of freedom and I used a little bit of that to then extend that a bit in terms of getting out and getting into that, exploring a bit of the community and things like that. Interestingly, what happened next, though, was quite shocking for me, which was that being a, you know, sometimes the downside of these collective online communities is people can get a bit bitter or sour, and the actions of some individuals in that community, or one person in particular who I never met, but played out that I was effectively forced out of the, the closet.
Oh my God, how awful.
Through a pool of lies and almost quasi blackmail at the time. Not a great not the most wonderful of moments, but in doing that, you know, I effectively had that point with my mother. I had to then go, okay, what's happened here, and explain that. And the good thing was, you know, I have huge respect for my mother, and she was a lovely, she is a lovely person, highly intelligent as well. She went and checked every book in the library out that she could on gay and lesbian people and lifestyle and parenting and everything else.
And how was she with it once when she sort of had time for it to settle in?
There was a little bit of denial at first. Yep. Are you bisexual? Are you gay? All those sort of things. But she, I had her stuffing envelopes for Lesbian and Gay Pride, WA, bless. by the time I was 17. So we went down a nice journey there.
I'm glad that part one has a nice ending before we listen to part two. We've got to pay some bills first, but you're listening to Andrew Parker's story tonight on Chatterbox, only on Joy 94.9.
Joy 94.9 in Melbourne. Joy.org.au for the world.
You're listening to Chatterbox with Brett and Andrew and our special guest Andrew Parker tonight on Joy 94.9. Now, if you haven't tuned into Chatterbox before, we are a talk show where we invited a member of the GLBTI community to tell their story. They get to choose four songs that best sum them up, and they have a bit of a chat with Brett and I.
Absolutely. And my love, we've had a message sent to us from the fabulous Dorsey, who's actually our neighbour, but currently listening in to us from Dubai. Turns out Chatterbox is huge in the Middle East. Loving the show, boys.
Fantastic.
Thank goodness we will not get a fatwa tonight.
Now, Mr. Parker, before we went to our lovely community service announcement, you told us part one of your coming out story, which I was did. Where you came out relatively young in Perth at around 15 to your family. Tell us about part two.
Part two. So from part one, I then had, you know, once I got the family coming out part over, I had this wonderful little period of, you know, getting out and about into the gay and lesbian community. I was 16, I think, at that point, maybe. And, you know, as I always do, I jump right into things. I don't want to do anything in halves.
This must be a Perth trait. I just thought it was, no, because, totally.
Jumped in there, started helping out with Pride WA. Still, you know, at that age, still very much sort of got myself on the newsletter committee and things like that, which was fabulous. And, you know, started, I suppose, exploring some of that identity over time.
Yeah.
But I suppose the next big step came that I was, you know, I was in high school.
Yes.
And there was another level of that coming out to happen.
How was that?
Really interesting. And, you know, I loved high school. I had a great time there, but I'd been involved in drama, all those sort of the arts and everything else. Over the years, you'd always have someone throw some sort of, you know, anti-gay remark at you or something like that. And I then took a step in year 12, and I'm at a Catholic high school, remember, as well. So that's an interesting co-ed, which made it a little bit better.
Oh,
but,
yes.
I took a step of inviting a guy to the high school ball.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, this was my way of coming out. And incredibly brave of me. And I think I'd burst out of the closet. I really had. Like, by this point, I'd already been marshalling in the Pride Perth parade. Yeah. So I was very much, you know, feeling that sense of massive pride.
And,
invited a guy to the ball. Didn't really think immediately about the consequences. There were points in the past, points in the future I'd gone, oh, maybe even now, I don't know if I would have done that. But, I felt like if you visualize the school, it was like a bomb going off with the piece of gossip that expanded.
Oh, yes.
You know, I think everyone down to like the kids in year four were probably going home to their parents that night going, do you know there's a boy taking another boy to the high school,
so,
to the ball?
So it was like that scene out of Grease, you know, when Rizzo announces that she's pregnant and they're at the drive-in and she's walking by and everyone starts talking, and by the time she gets to Kaniki, he already has heard about
Exactly like that.
Right.
I had people coming up to me, cornering me, or like going, oh my God, are you taking my friend, the friend of mine I was taking to the ball? Are you doing that? Are you gay? This whole sort of thing. It was amazing.
So you were 16 or 17 at the time?
I was then just turned 17.
So he's 17. So your date, in effect, were they the same age as you? Were they much older?
Same age as me.
Okay. Oh, then that's really sweet. Yeah. I would have been a bit freaked out if it was like a 31-year-old man coming with you.
So once that confetti cannon had gone off at the school dance and it had settled, what was the aftermath like? So the next couple of days after the school dance, how was everybody's reaction?
Really interesting, because the school didn't actually react badly to it, which was, you know, to be honest, for a Catholic school.
That's fantastic.
Interestingly, years down the track, I heard that apparently there had been lots of discussion behind the scenes. People in my own year group, guys that I thought would probably have wanted to come and, you know, whack me one, actually came up to me and said, I think what you're doing is really brave.
Oh, wow.
I still remember this to this one day, this one guy who I really had nothing to do with.
Yeah.
One of those guys who was down at fights at the, you know, down near the gym at lunchtime.
The thug. Yeah. The gym thugs.
The thug.
Yeah.
Came up and said that to me, I think what you're doing is really brave. And that was amazing. Of course, no doubt there were a few, you know, hails of abuse from the kids in year eight. But by that point, it didn't matter. And so that went down really, really well.
Yeah, I think that's incredibly brave and massive, massive pat on the back to you for A, doing that when you were 16 years old, but B, telling it tonight as well, because I think that's a fabulous story.
Oh, my God, absolutely.
Thank you, Adrian.
Now, your second track is...
That's a very good question.
You only had to pick four. Come on.
Okay. So this is
Mary Kiani.
Mary Kiani, I imagine.
Oh my God. She doesn't have a Minions with her. That's normally like giving her everything and doing a nose everything.
Where's my prompt?
Where's my trailer?
The story here is, you know, by this point, again, Perth dance parties back in the 90s, weren't they amazing?
Yeah,
can I say, dance parties in the 90s, period.
Spectacular.
I don't think there'll ever be another time like that.
And in that period, both at our local nightclub Connections, and at the dance parties, we had proper choreographers. We had costumes. We had amazing each production, each drag show, and people used to sit down on the floor in the nightclub.
We've had this discussion about, you know, I think it's great that, I mean, don't get me wrong, I'm not putting anything against the people who spent their time and the Queens knew how to nail a dance party. But it's a Perth and an Adelaide thing of sitting down on a dirty dance floor in a nightclub
to watch
the show.
Absolutely. Luckily, this one wasn't actually
in a
nightclub.
And I was still smoking in those days.
Mary Kiani, a lovely Scottish woman, was taking Australia by storm at the time, at least the gay community. And XS was the big midwinter dance party.
Yes.
That's X spelled backwards.
Yes.
And there was a massive show produced for that. That show then went on to perform at the Connie Awards, which is like Perth's glamour night of drag and performance.
It's the night of nights.
It won.
Let's face it.
It was. And not for the drag, but for the amazing choreography. There was a rotating set in the middle of this thing.
Oh, wow.
Some French choreographer. It was amazing. I was working backstage there on work experience. And I had a great time.
You got work experience at a gay dance party.
I wanted to work these things out.
So the origins of you arranging events started when you were only 17.
Very early age.
How fantastic. Well, look, without further ado, because this woman is amazing. I always forget this song until it starts. And it's like,
spectacular.
Absolutely. So here she is. It's the fabulous Mary Kiani with I Imagine. Hey, you're listening to Chatterbox tonight on Joy 94.9.
Kiss the past to let
Joy 949 and connect with your community. Joy 94.9.
You're listening to Chatterbox with Brett and Andrew and our special guest, the wonderful Andrew Parker, tonight on Joy 94.9. Now, Brett, we've had a couple of messages come through.
I know.
First one is from the gorgeous Betty. Betty, who is the official Joy photographer.
She is, and she does amazing things for Joy, and I'm sure she's going to be working her little butt off next week because it's Joy's 21st birthday next week.
Well, saying evening Chatterbox is enjoying the show. Thanks, Betty.
Oh, bless. And there's one final message, my love.
And it says, love the show, and Andrew Parker is so brave and honest sharing his story. Love from the big Fraidy cat.
That's lovely.
Does that ring a bell, the big Fraidy cat?
I don't know who big Fraidy cat. Oh, 1, 2, 4.
No, my love, we'll do this in the break. Don't do that. You're talking like an old person now. But I was saying to him, my barber, I was like, don't do it.
The wonders of technology.
Don't do it. Now, Andrew, for your next song, I think it's a perfect choice, but do you want to tell us a little bit why you chose Jet Lag?
Oh, look, some years ago, something happened and I became obsessed with travel. I lived to travel. I probably think I still do probably in reality. Part of it's now part of my job, but nothing in the world drives me to take action more than getting on a plane or to visit another country or continent. I almost cross them off a list.
And where's your favourite place you've ever been?
Oh, that's a really tricky question. Berlin is actually one of the... I could not go anywhere near Europe without going to Berlin. I have a deep-seated love of that city. That's probably...
For a variety of reasons, haven't you, Andrew?
Oh, Brett's giving me a look there. Brett made no more worry about what I get up
Every gay man I know who goes to Berlin always has a fabulous time for a variety of reasons as well.
Absolutely.
And for the architecture, the history, the nightlife.
The nightlife. For all of those reasons.
For all of those reasons.
Look, it's
the Tier Garden.
I think, you know, continental Europe is absolutely lovely. I think it's probably more my number one destination. Yes. Other place, San Francisco. I trucked off to America for the second time some years ago, when obviously been a few times since, but it was my second time in America, and I went along with a lot of preconceptions about what mainland or West Coast America might be like, and I was absolutely blown away by how liberal thinking and how wonderful San Francisco is and how friendly the people are.
Yeah.
It's just, I love that city.
Do you know, California, I didn't think we would like California as much. California is a great place to visit.
It is lovely.
It's sunny. People are friendly and they mean it.
Oh, people.
Yeah.
There's none of this clickiness in the bar. People will just come up to you and they'll be saying hi on the street everywhere.
Yeah.
I now have a number of great friends over there as well, which is lovely.
And I must admit, particularly San Francisco, when we first got there, it just felt a little bit familiar. Even though it was the first time, it was our first stop in the States and it was the first time we'd ever been to the States, there was something that felt very familiar about San Francisco, and I don't know whether it was the architecture, what it was, the people were friendly,
It was like a missing Australian city.
It is, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's very approachable and even the food's fantastic. It's got all of those little elements going on. That said, the other place in the world that I'm also drawn to, there's so many of them, Barcelona. I managed to have a bit of a Spanish lover over a number of years, and that city is fantastic.
Sí, señor. My goodness.
So, without further ado, let's set up your third track.
This song is amazing. It without me realizing it, it climbed up my iTunes playlist to a point where it was in my top 25 of all time.
Yes.
And I realized
it's very telling, the top 25 of anyone's playlist, isn't it? Because you get to find out a lot about the individual with 25 songs.
Oh, yes. Some of mine are a little scary, but this one is not. This is a song that you can listen to if you're happy. You can really rejoice it and feel good.
Yeah.
And if you're sad, it really is good to reflect on. I've listened to it many times in Australia. I've listened to it while I'm traveling. I think it just keeps giving, this song. It's Jet Lag.
My goodness, Jet Lag by The Simple Plan. You're listening to Chatterbox tonight on Joy 94.9.
Living upside down. I don't even wanna be in this town. Try jet lagged. Heart, heart, heart is so jet lagged. Heart, heart, heart is so jet lagged. So jet lagged.
This is Shadowbox with Brett and Andrew and our very special guest, the gorgeous Andrew Parker, tonight on Joy 94.9.
Now, Mel, we've had a last minute message.
Yes, we have.
Sent from Andrew's friend. I've actually just requisitioned his phone, Jared, and that's why I can read it. The first one is jet lag equals our winery tour last year. Good call.
Oh, yeah. We had a smashing good time heading up to the Yarra Valley. a bus trip taking us all over the wineries.
That's a very sensible thing to do in a bus trip in a vineyard. Mm-hmm. And finally, Jared also mentioned he can't believe that you didn't mention Palms of Sydney.
Palms of Sydney.
Your top destinations.
I did have a number of years living in Sydney and great city to be in. It did change me a little bit for a while. But
did you give Palms a red hot thump?
Oh, my God. I can say lots of things.
Can I say, I think everyone in this room has given Palms a red hot thump.
To this day, as embarrassing as it sometimes is to admit that you go there, there is something about that club. You know all the songs.
Absolutely.
You know, it's the 1970s decor. It's the bad beer. I don't know if those spirits and things at the bar are actually genuine, but the hangover is always horrendous. But that said, you can really party the night away, and I love that. And Jared and I have spent many a night doing that. One Sunday night, we were the only people on the dance floor, but that's another story.
That's another story. And now we are running out of time, but my love, what time it is? It is out of the box time where you ask the weird questions to our guests.
It's where I pull our guests apart and then stick them back together again. Now, Mr. Parker, I'm going to ask you some deeply personal questions here.
I'm bracing for impact.
What's the worst outfit you've ever worn?
Oh, look, back in those days at the Pride Parade back in the 90s,
yes.
I wore a lot of polyester back then. We all did. Mechanical stretch. And
shame.
Yeah. But in particular...
That's nice and breathable in Perth.
40 degrees and very purple polyester. The actual item in particular was a rainbow waistcoat.
Wow.
I still have it somewhere.
Get out my now.
People actually borrowed this off me, but I wore it with cream jeans and a Bonds t-shirt.
Get out.
What was I thinking?
What were you bloody thinking?
I think it actually went down well at the time, but... Yeah,
it would have been mildly fashionable
In the 90s, yeah. That would have been fashionable, but that is unforgivable.
Horrendous now, burn it.
Next question. Let's see if you can redeem yourself in this next question, my love.
Next question is, what is the worst date you've ever been on?
Oh, that goes back to a Perth, Perth experience as well. And I think we've all been on some bad online dates in our time. This guy resembled Barney from The Simpsons. nothing like his Facebook profile. When I say Barney, he was in his early 20s, but that said, he still had all those other characteristics that were undesirable. Luckily, I had planned for a friend to just be passing by the cafe in Northbridge that we were at and save me from that situation. That was god awful.
Oh my god.
And last but certainly not least,
yes.
What is your guilty pleasure embarrassing TV or movie show that you just love but you know it's terrible?
Terrible is a hard word to apply to this, because Doctor Who's my TV.
No, it's
secret.
Quite easy to apply terrible to Doctor Who.
But
now, Andrew, you get out.
But I'd have to say, if things really come down to needing a good movie, something from Dolly Parton, a bit like The Best Little Whorehouse in Texas.
Oh yes,
9 to 5
on Straight Talk.
Steel Magnolias. Yep.
But I love the musical factor and the bit of Burt Reynolds.
Yeah, absolutely.
Best Little Whorehouse in Texas just keeps going. And it's a real story as well.
Texas has got a whorehouse in it.
Lord have mercy on our souls.
Can I say, I used to share a flat with a guy and him and I used to do a drag show to the entire soundtrack of that.
Do you have that on video somewhere, Andrew? I would love to get hold of that.
I'm gonna hunt down that. So, hey, we're running out of time, but there's a little bit more Chatterbox coming up. You're on Lord Joy 94.9.
Joy.
You're listening to Brett and Andrew and our special guest, Andrew Parker, on Chatterbox on Joy 94.9. Now, we are at the end of the show, but we've just got time for one more message, which says, hi, boys, loving hearing you here in St Kilda. Love from Moira and Miss Ross, the bass.
Oh, bless.
Thanks, boys.
Andrew, you've been a fabulous guest. And would you like to tell us your final track that you've chosen tonight?
Final track.
Yep.
Haven't got as much story behind this one, other than I managed to do some moves to it in a jazz class the other week. That's my other secret.
And And again, I wasn't there with you in jazz class.
You weren't, Brett. One day you will be.
I will come.
I do like to do that a little bit in secret, though.
Yes.
This song, and I must admit, this performer have managed to somehow secure for some of my big Christmas events this year. So,
fantastic.
It's Nathaniel with You're Beautiful, and I think this is a lovely song.
But I want to say, Andrew, thank you for being such a fabulous guest and sharing some beautiful moments of your life tonight.
Thank you so much for having me. It's been so much fun, boys, and love to come back again sometime.
Oh, anytime. You're welcome. Andrew, my love.
Oh, look, you've been divine, but I knew you would be. Thanks for listening, Australia, and we'll see you next week.
Good night.
Good night, Australia.
Joy.
Joy 94.9 is a GLBTIQ community radio station in Melbourne, Australia. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.